If you try to book a COVID test via the official NHS England website this morning, you may not even be directed to one on the other side of the country. When I tried throughout the morning, all that comes up on the website in large bold letters is the message, "This service is currently very busy." The problems have been building for days. Children are back at school, students are going back to university, infections are rising, and even in normal times, autumn brings colds and coughs, which could be mistaken for COVID. Morag is one of many affected by the testing problems. She spoke to me this morning.
My 7-year-old son developed a cough through the night, and it was regular and persistent. It seems to fit the description that we should be concerned about it and therefore need to test him. We've tried two methods, ringing two different numbers that both connect to the 119 service. Often those didn't even ring through. At the same time, I've tried to be working out how to use the web-based booking service. And by the end of it, we're asking for a walkthrough test site, and there are no test sites found. There's an option to change to drive-through, and I thought, well, you know, needs must. Let's see how we might be able to navigate that. We don't have a car, but I do drive. Again, no test sites found.
So not being able to get a test, what are your options?
Well, the other advice is that if you don't test, then you have to self-isolate for a long time. That means potentially my son has 2 weeks off school unnecessarily. I'm not entirely sure what that means in terms of how the school kind of makes a decision. They've asked for the test results when they come through. It means that I will have to try and work from home in some way, which isn't impossible but isn't straightforward. We've got a small flat, and my partner is a key worker, and his work really doesn't work very well from home. So
is he having to self-isolate too?
Well, you know, this is something that we're all coming to terms with. We're hoping not. But until we get a clear test result, then that is how we have to go forward, isn't it?
Even the vaccine trials have been affected by the failings in testing. One of the trial volunteers emailed our sister programme, Broadcasting House, yesterday to say that for the past month, test results have been taking 5 days to come back, even though they are prioritised within the system. At the Scottish Government's daily briefing, the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, talked about the delays in testing.
We now have a very serious concern that the backlog of test results being faced by the UK lab network, which the Glasgow Lighthouse Lab is part of, is starting to impact on the timeous reporting of Scottish results. We've been raising these concerns with the UK Government in recent days. Indeed, over the weekend, the Health Secretary managed to resist a move to limit access to testing slots at mobile testing units and regional testing centres. However, this apparent delay in turnaround is causing us concern, and therefore we'll be seeking to escalate these discussions with the UK Government over the course of today.
Nicola Sturgeon just a short time ago. Well, those areas of the country seeing the highest rise in infections are meant to be prioritised for testing, but they're facing similar problems. Gateshead is on a watch list, with its Director of Public Health, Alice Wiseman, warning that it could be just a week away from stricter measures being imposed. And she joins us now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
And what's happened to testing in Gateshead?
So, unfortunately, we're still seeing the same position that we had last week, and very similar reports from residents telling me of the experiences as the lady and the previous speaker that you had on. So people having great difficulty in getting a test result, and when they do get a test result, the turnaround times have slowed down as well.
Oh, you did arrange, I think, for a mobile testing unit to come to Gateshead.
Yeah, so we decided that we would be proactive, and we asked for a mobile testing unit to be deployed to Gateshead, and it was agreed, and we opened the site on Saturday morning and waited, and 10 cars turned up, and unfortunately there had been a breakdown in communication somewhere, and the mobile testing unit didn't ever arrive. It did never arrive on the Saturday. It did arrive on the Sunday. But on the Saturday, we had to arrange for 30 people who'd been offered a test at that location to have their tests taken over the river in Newcastle.
Okay, so they eventually got one via
they
a different...
They eventually got the test.
Via a different route.
Just really disruptive, yeah.
Are you finding that people are able to book tests, or are they not even able to get tests?
So lots of people not even able to get tests. So I know that my leader had a look over the weekend to see whether he would be able to book a test, and he spent several hours on Saturday night and time on Sunday morning and was unable to get a test organised. Okay.
What difference does it make to not having a test? I mean, presumably people who can't, they have to stay home.
Yeah, I mean, and actually you've just heard from the previous speaker there around the disruption that that causes to families. But the other complication for me is that we're not able to do contact tracing unless we have a positive result. So potentially you've then got people who are positive who can't get a test. So we can't contact their contacts. In theory, there is potentially people walking around who are infected with COVID but just don't know.
And you have warned that the situation in Gateshead, because there has been a rapid increase in infections, means one imagines you need to know the numbers to know what to do next.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really difficult. The rate per 100,000 for the last week in August was 15. And when I've looked at it this morning, we're now up to 70 per 100,000. So a really significant increase. And like I say, with that added concern of we know that not everybody's able to get tested. So we think it's likely to be much higher than that.
Do you know what the problem is?
In terms of the testing capacity?
Yes.
So I understand that there's an issue in terms of the lab capacity, just being able to actually process the tests. And actually, we have offered a solution. So locally, we have a new pathology lab in Gateshead, but the old pathology lab is currently standing empty. And actually, if the government were able to provide us with the resources, just the platforms, we could increase the testing capacity, just in Gateshead, to between 20 to 30,000 a day. So we have a solution there, and we just really need someone to listen and to provide us with those resources.
Okay, so what is it specifically that you require to get that up and running?
So we need the resourcing in terms of the platform, the testing platforms. You know, we've got the space, we've got the building, we've got the infrastructure. Gateshead also does tests across the whole region for other issues, so HPV. So we've got the infrastructure in terms of, you know, the logistics to drive testing around and to, you know, collect swabs from somewhere else in the region. And we just need the government to put the resources in so that we can buy the platforms and get cracking with the testing.
Alice Wiseman, thank you for bringing us up to date with what's going on in Gateshead. Well, in trying to establish what has gone wrong, the scale of the problem, and what is going wrong with the labs, we spoke to Gabriel Pogran. Now, he's the Whitehall correspondent for The Times. He said there's a backlog of 185,000 used swabs.
Part of the question is, can the government successfully persuade people not to apply for or take tests? So it's interesting that, you know, the guidance has changed. Schools, for instance, were told that they would have testing available. It was actually just last week that Gavin Williamson gave a personal assurance that there would be a testing regime rolled out through all schools and colleges to allow students to safely return. We now know that, in fact, any school, be it a school of 1,000 students or 2,500, that they're all just going to get 10 test kits, and they're now being told only hand them out if you think the pupil is symptomatic and unlikely to be able to get tests from elsewhere. This is to say the government is now desperate to try and get people to not apply for tests so that they can direct resources to the areas that they deem most needy, care homes being a key example.
And from what you've seen in these reports, is it clear why there is a problem in the labs?
Some tests avoided because of mere human error, so staff at care homes haven't sealed the swabs properly. There are some farcical reports of people inadvertently sending urine rather than saliva. But then there are also seemingly major sort of systemic issues at some of the laboratories. So one of the biggest is Randox Labs. They received a £133 million contract at the start of lockdown to process test kits. We know that on a single day, according to government spreadsheets, they threw away 12,500 kits. And when you ask them why, well, you know, naturally they first say it's all kind of commercially sensitive, they're not allowed to give us their own analysis. But speaking to civil servants and the sources who provided us with this information, it seems there's kind of disputes between the labs and government as to what's going on. Some labs seem to have a policy of throwing away test kits after 72 hours because they think that they're no longer accurate at that point. There is some suggestion that other laboratories are just throwing away older kits in order to process the newest ones. But there are definitely capacity issues at labs, and they appear to be reacting to that in different ways.
Gabriel Pogrand of The Times. Well, Doris Ann Williams is Chief Executive of the British In Vitro Diagnostics Association.
The resurgence of the infection has meant that testing has been directed to where it's most needed. So people who are caring for patients in the NHS and particularly in care homes, but also as we need to increase the amount of testing we do, potentially there's a lack of scientific staff, and I know they are trying to desperately recruit additional scientific staff ready to ramp up the testing capacity for the winter.
So it's a shortage of capable staff in the labs?
Yes. So the analogy I would use is that as we're facing an unprecedented demand in testing, there's a limited number of scientists and technicians that can perform the work in the UK, well, in any country, in the same way as if you suddenly needed to, I don't know, treble the workforce of motor mechanics, you wouldn't have that degree of qualified motor mechanics available to immediately deploy.
Okay, so as far as you know, it's not down to problems in the supply chain with reagents, which is something that has been suggested.
I haven't heard anything from any of the companies indicating that there's any problem getting supplies through. Companies have had the summer to ramp up their manufacturing further, and there's been a certain amount of stock building, getting ready for the winter. So the actual physical components aren't the problem.
Given what you're saying, was it entirely predictable?
I guess we always knew that there was a possibility of a spike of reinfection in the autumn, and there was a lot of planning that went on over the summer. But I guess this whole virus has continued to throw up unexpected challenges from the very beginning, so there's only a limit to what you can plan for.
Even if there hadn't been an increase in infection, the government has been promising a ramping up of testing, even to those who may not have symptoms. Are you saying that that isn't possible because you can't get qualified staff quickly enough?
I'm not saying it isn't possible, because there are staff available doing other roles. So it is finding the spare staff and getting them into the right places at the right time. But everything has an effect and a counter effect. So if you move staff from one area, then you're going to leave a deficit in another. So equally, I know that people came from the research background originally to support the immediate push in the spring to do COVID testing, and they've returned largely to their ordinary jobs. So whether they would be available or not, it's down to sort of trying to find people and get them in the right place at the right time.
Doris Ann Williams of British In Vitro Diagnostics Association. Well, the Department for Health and Social Care has released a statement in response to the questions about testing, saying that the laboratories are processing more than 1 million tests a week, and we recently announced new facilities and technology to process results even faster. They say that new booking slots and home testing kits are made available daily for those who need them. But they also point out that the demand, seeing a significant demand for tests, including from people who do not have symptoms and are not otherwise eligible. Stella Creasy's MP for Walthamstow, she's tweeted about testing sites in her constituency not being allowed to test any more people and their staff being forced to stand idle. She joins us. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
What's happening in the units in Walthamstow that you've seen?
This is an absolute farce. I've had lots of parents get in touch with me this morning because they've got children with the symptoms that are listed, people like Morag, who need to get a test, who cannot book one online, who've been trying all over the weekend to book one, and our walk-in centre, which is on their doorstep, yesterday started turning people away who didn't have an appointment, which would make sense if it was busy. But I've been down there myself, and there's nothing happening there. I've just heard from somebody who says still idle at the moment. This is like rail privatisation. The mistake the government made then was to split up the tracks and the signalling and the stations. And they've done exactly the same thing here. So you've got one private company running these centres collecting tests. You've got another one currying the tests to the research labs, and a third one for the research labs. And nobody knows what the other is doing. So they don't know how many tests they need to do. They don't know how many scientists they need to do. And they don't know what the demand is. And the result is that children are being home from school, there are people who cannot go to work, or there are people taking risks with their and other people's public safety. It's an absolute farce.
But that, I mean, I suppose the argument is, look, we've never seen anything like this before. The scale of this is immense, and perhaps it is to be expected that as the demand increases at this time of year, then you are going to face some problems.
It was entirely predictable that children going back to school would lead to demand that universities going back. What is also predictable is that if you are a testing centre, you need to know how many tests you can do and how many people you can see and how many quickly tests can get tested at the laboratories. But as they split the contracts up, nobody knows what each other is doing. It's complete chaos, and it's a chaos that's entirely predictable because we've had these problems before when the government has outsourced services, and the reality is that my constituents are paying the price.
Now, it's not. There are different. Different councils, I suppose, are taking different approaches. Hammersmith and Fulham Council yesterday were saying emergency alert. Been on holiday, got COVID-19 symptoms. Get tested today. No appointment necessary. Just walk up. And that was to a walk-in centre in Westfield in Shepherd's Bush. What is the situation in Walthamstow? Are you suggesting that that people should not be going unless they have symptoms, and can they walk into centres, or do you not know?
I was rung by the Department of Health yesterday and asked to tell residents not to walk in without an appointment, not to go up and see whether they could get an appointment, because the number of tests had been capped. And the problem for those of us watching this is that we cannot get any data out of the Department of Health about how many people are being tested and what their postcodes are. And I fear what the government is trying to do is suppress demand for tests to be able to cope with the backlog of tests they've got in the testing centres at the research labs. But the consequence of that are kids off school and people out of work or people taking risks with their health. These are not people trying to game the system. I think it's disgraceful that ministers are trying to suggest that these are people who don't need a test. They're all people with the symptoms they've been told to go and report and get a test for, and do that. And I can't question. The question is, what should they do next? Should they keep their child off school? They keep trying on the online system. They can't go to the walk-in centre on their doorstep that is clearly not being used. And as the lady from Gateshead said, it's the same thing over there.
Stella,
this is a mess, and I'm frustrated.
Indeed, and you sound it, although on a slightly dodgy line, so apologies for the quality of the line. Stella Creasy, thank you.